Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
These are some of my favorites. These are a Red Haven peach. It's an old-fashioned peach. It just, they get no better.
Today, we're visiting Jacques and Amy Newcomb at Newcomb Farm, which is a 15-acre certified organic farm in Willow Creek, California. Jacques, how did you get started in the organic farming business?
It was through a class at HSU. It was a sustainable agriculture class taught by Susan Ornelas, and I had always been an avid gardener. I just wanted a little taste of something different before I went into a life of fisheries biology, so I took a sustainable agriculture class, and I had a free summer my senior year, and I came out and volunteered on a farm in Willow Creek, and that was
history. It was love at first sight.
Yeah, I loved it. I still refer to it as the best summer of my life. Now it's all wonderful, but now there's a lot more book work involved. So.
Did you have a family that was in farming at all?
No, we had a garden my whole life, and we were one of those families that tilled up the front lawn back in, I guess, in the 80s, and we were a curiosity for sure.
But where was that at?
I was down in Marin County in Centerfell.
That would be a curiosity.
Down there. So as all these million-dollar houses were being made, we were chewing up the front yard, and but it was great. And we had chickens, and I always had a leaning towards it. But, you know, no one ever offers agriculture up as a vocation. Everybody wants you to be an engineer or a business person, or, you know, suit and tie is considered success in this culture. So when I worked and I found how great it was to use my body and to feed a community, there was no turning back.
How did you choose this site for your farm?
I was originally farming down the road and running a fruit stand along with the farm. And the one thing we didn't grow on the farm was peaches. And an older man by the name of Jerry Chapman would bring us peaches and we would sell his peaches. And my parents were coming to visit. He offered up his guest house. They actually formed a good friendship before I really knew Jerry. But years went by, and he left a note at the Campus Center for Appropriate Technologies that there was a house in Willow Creek with some land attached to it, and he was looking for somebody to maybe caretake. And I was out here, but still connected with the university. So I wrote him a letter, and he remembered me and my family. And one of the reasons I'm a successful organic farmer is because I got to live here in this house for free for 8 years. And Jerry kind of taught me how to prune trees and how to identify diseases and taught me the works. And then at the end of an apprenticeship with him, really, he turned the orchard over to me.
It sounds like mentorship is real important, because it seems like as people have gone from the land, gone into the cities, we've kind of losing some of that knowledge base about how to grow things. What would you suggest to young people who want to be farmers today to get some background in farming?
We have a really unique opportunity here in Humboldt County. There are so many small farms, and there are so many farmers that know how to do this. The conventional wisdom is go to an ag school, get your degree, and start going for the bigger and bigger and bigger acreage. One of the neat things about Humboldt County is there's very, very few farms that are over 20 acres, and they really are mom and pop. And I mean, I started this place with a hoe and a digging fork. And it's a lot easier to tackle something like this when you can see it on such a human scale. You know, we've been profitable for every year, even from that hoe and digging fork stage. So it's totally possible. And that's why we always open our farms up to people who are curious. We get calls all the time for internships and just people saying, is it possible? Can you do it? And you can.
And this is a family-run farm. What do other members of the family do here?
Well, my wife and I both farm. She always puts me in front of the media face, but she can do everything I can. She's on the tractor. She's out in the fields running, you know, crews of people. And harvest days, we're at it 50-50 with Hazel around now. It's nice because it's actually slowed us both down a little bit. So we get to smell the flowers a little bit more. So one of us is always preparing a meal for the crew, and the other one's out with the crew working on the fields or in the orchard. You know, we were calling it a family farm even before we had Hazel, our daughter, who's 2 years old now. We had a much broader view of family at the time, you know, like friends who are dear to our hearts. That's a big part. I mean, now My parents come up frequently, and Amy's parents are involved as well. They help us pick the grapes, make wine. It gets distributed to the greater family from there, cousins, uncles, things like that. So it's been Amy's and my effort now for the last 15 years to grow this and just include as many people as we can.
What methods do you use to ensure that your farm is sustainable?
We really look at our resource use as much as possible. We adhere strictly to the organic rules, but we also try and do things beyond that. Everything we do is on drip irrigation. The only thing that's not on drip irrigation is what we dry farm. So almost our entire orchard receives no water from the day the tree is planted, and some of those trees are 40 years old now. And that's just a way we can conserve even more precious resources. We have the 2 acres in grapes is totally dry farmed. The 5 acres in orchard is totally dry farmed. Every year we do our melons and squash dry farm, combination of 4 more acres. And then we try and do a 1/2 acre of carrots, also dry farmed. And we find, the flavor, the quality of the produce is far superior if you can pull it off. But it also means that we throw less manure. We put no liquid fish emulsion into a fertilization unit. In the irrigation, it takes less cultivation through tractor, less diesel fuel or biodiesel. And so it's definitely a much less resource intensive way of farming. And it's probably about 1/2 of our farm is dry farmed.
Tell me about the diesel fuel that you use, the biodiesel.
Yeah, the tractor and our large flatbed Ford, we use biodiesel. We considered for a while making our own. We got some accounts with the restaurants here in Willow Creek, but we just felt that there is an effluent, there is a byproduct, and we didn't feel like the farm was the right place to have that byproduct and effluent. We figured that with the city of Arcata and their wastewater treatment facility, and that would be the best place to have it. So we've shuttled our vegetable oil accounts to Andy Cooper at Footprint, and now we just buy it from him. Uh-huh. But we always keep 100 gallons here on the farm for the truck and the tractor, and it works great. We love it, and we've had no problems with it. We also do our own little car. It's run on biodiesel as well.
Uh-huh. So. How do you use hedgerows?
The hedgerows are nice. The native hedgerows are really great because there's a lot of ground-dwelling native bees that need that undisturbed, unirrigated soil, And there's also a lot of the native plants that flower at opportune times to help beneficial insects in their cycle of life. So we like to have those hedgerows around for nesting places for birds, for a number of other things.
Mm-hmm. And why are wildflower fields in the swallow? You've built over 100?
This year we built 35 swallow boxes, I think. Uh-huh. A lot of it's one of the things that slows us down sometimes is just they all need to be on metal poles. That way the raccoons and things can't climb up and get the swallow babies when they're in there. But a lot of times it slows us down just because you got to find enough scrap metal to put them up, Uh-huh. But we love putting them up. Swallows eat insects, and there's a box right there, but the swallows eat insects. They don't travel more than a couple hundred yards away from that box, so they're just one more part of the fertility cycle. Whenever you have a cycle of nature that is more complex and more diverse, it's more stable. And so we try and add as many things like the swallow boxes or around the trees. We plant comfrey and lamb's ear so there's places for the frogs and the toads to hide.
Do you cook yourself? And if so, what's your favorite thing to prepare?
The whole farm loves to cook. One of the ways you get onto the farm is being a good cook. And so all of our workers, it's what we do right now is we have a communal lunch every day that we work. And 6 days a week, we have that lunch. And each one of the crew takes a day and prepares for it. We provide all the ingredients for it. They just tell us what's going to happen. But we have had the most incredible Indian food. We have had the most incredible everything out here. And one of the things that I find that I suit myself well to is we'll be in the middle of a meal and I'll realize that we've had no dessert, and it's such an incredible meal. Most of the time it's just all farm produce with a little extra added in, and I'll run off in the middle of the meal and I've got my 5-minute pie recipe down really well. So when you have a farm that's filled with raspberries and strawberries and mulberries and peaches and things like that, there's always something that's going to make a good pie out there. So I've got my pie crust down and I can have a pie in the oven in 5 minutes. So by the end of the meal, there's usually a pie ready. And so that's my favorite thing to cook, I think.
That sounds delicious. The 5-minute pie. I'd like a slice of that. Yeah. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Jacques Newcomb.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple. apple, plum, and every god I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.